When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with David Fowler, Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, welcome back.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I hope you are as well. I know we're coming to the end of the year, and it's generally a time to think back on the year we've just been through. And I want to get your thoughts on how the global economy fared. I know there are some signs that things have been going south, but if you look at all of the different figures and facts, it looks like it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be this year.
I think, you know, the kind of the key word, I think, to describe what we've gone through over the last kind of 12 months, and I think, frankly, what we're going to go through the next 12 months is going to be disruption. And, you know, sometimes disruption is good and sometimes is bad. It can often be a bit painful in the beginning, and I think we've seen that, you know, as you were kind of discussing. You know, we've seen a fairly significant change in a lot of aspects of our lives, really, for over, you know, the last 24 months. And, you know, while we were all in kind of lockdown and COVID, we had a very unusual lifestyle, particularly from an economic standpoint. And, you know, what we saw then was, as things started to open up, you know, all that kind of depressed demand that people had from, you know, not being able to go to the shops or not being able to buy things or this kind of stuff, you know, all that kind of came to fruition, and we saw this kind of massive increase in demand. We saw a large increase in inflation, partially because of that demand, partially because, you know, every government in the world basically was, you know, increasing money supply as much as they could in order to avoid going into depression when their economies were in this kind of period of economic lockdown. And, you know, what we've seen is, you know, just as, you know, economies have kind of picked up a little faster than people thought, well, all the ancillary kind of negative aspects to that, to use a term, you know, they've also picked up. So we've seen, so inflation being one of them, energy prices being another. There's been, you know, obviously big disruption. If you live in Europe, you know, energy has become quite a significant aspect to your, you know, monthly outgoings. In the UK, it's basically tripled. In the European Union, it's certainly more than doubled. So it's becoming, you know, that's an issue, and that cuts down disposable incomes, and, you know, all this type of stuff is kind of generally making people look a little differently to the world. And all of this disruption, I think, kind of mirrors a little bit, in some respects, what we saw in 2009 at the end of the financial crisis, where, you know, the economy basically is starting to look at, you know, re-looking at how we do things. So, you know, we've seen this from kind of a manufacturing side. We're seeing this idea of kind of reshoring. So, you know, production moving away from, you know, being located in the cheapest part of the supply chain to maybe the most optimal part of the supply chain. We're seeing it in the way we go to work. You know, it's no longer so much of a, you know, when people think of going to work, they think of, you know, the corner of LaSalle and Monroe. They're now thinking of the corner of their back bedroom. You know, there's been a lot of, and how that affects, you know, the economy is still to be seen. So, you know, it's been an interesting year in many ways. Some of it, I think, has been very difficult for people, but I think with that difficulty, there will be a change in how we kind of look to consumption, change how we look to work, change how we look to a lot of different things, and that will create opportunities as well.
The Institute of International Finance has its 2014 or 2023 forecast out and says that the world economy will be as weak next year as it was in 2009. You mentioned that just briefly. Talk to us a little bit about how not only the things you've mentioned, COVID, the disruption, climate, all of those things play into it, also the Ukraine situation as we move into 2023.
Well, I think, you know, again, we're looking at this, you know, in economics, you kind of look at these periods of kind of equilibrium, and then periods of non-equilibrium. And we're kind of in that non-equilibrium stage. You know, we've, for the last 10, 12 years, we've had a situation where the world has had, you know, basically been moving towards, you know, zero interest rates, unlimited liquidity, you know, which allowed the economies and industries and corporations and, you know, all to kind of prosper and grow. It also led to, you know, people looking at investment vehicles that may be less safe, and safe in kind of inverted commas here, than maybe the more traditional types of investment vehicles that people have used in the past because they've been searching for yield. Going forward, I think what you're going to see is certainly there's going to be a retracement in economic growth. I think it's going to be very difficult for that not to happen, just given how much, you know, inflation has moved up so quickly, whether it be in terms of, you know, consumer prices, energy prices, raw material prices. It's unlikely we're going to solve all the issues in the supply chain, you know, with the click of the fingers. We still are going to have issues with, you know, this dislocation, whether it be, you know, too many ships in a port, that, you know, so that there are delays in being unloaded. There's going to be, you know, difficulties in getting product to where it needs to be, whether it's going to be a situation where maybe we have some other form of, you know, big event, unplanned event, some new virus or some return of maybe, you know, a different type of COVID or something that, you know, again, all these things are going to cause the economies to slow. Now, is that a bad thing? Obviously it is to an extent, but it's also part of this finding a new equilibrium. And I think 2023 is going to be the year where we start to move towards whatever that new equilibrium is going to be. I think this is when we're going to start seeing it. And it may be an equilibrium where interest rates are, you know, not going up by 0.75 every month, but are going to be higher than they were a year ago or 2 years ago. So the idea of the kind of a mortgage, 30-year mortgage starting with a 2 is probably gone for a while. But, you know, it may start with a 5 or 6. You know, you're going to see unemployment maybe rise a little bit. So instead of being, you know, at, you know, 50-year lows, it's going to return more to a kind of a normal place of the kind of 4%, 4 to 5%. Are we going to see, you know, the equity markets, you know, have gone through a roller coaster in the last 24 months? Are we going to continue to see that boom and bust type approach? I don't think so. I think we're going to start seeing, you know, markets become a little more kind of normalized as we all readjust to what's going to become the new normal. You know, economists are always like, they call it economics the dismal science, because we always have, you know, two things that we always say. One of them is it depends, and yes, but. And how we get, how to 2023 pans out is going to depend a lot on what happens in terms of controlling inflation, particularly in, you know, energy, on the energy side. It's going to be how well we can control the growth of money supply, and this contraction, the now contraction of money supply, how well that can be done without causing a bottoming of the economy. It's going to be how can we, you know, reshore manufacturing so that, you know, the supply kind of meets demand and we don't have these kind of boom and bust approaches where, you know, either there's, you know, 50 of something and then the next day there's none. So all of that stuff, I think 2023 is going to be that year that we do that. But to get there, it's probably going to cause economies to retrace a little bit in all of the major indicators.
The Institute of International Finance predicts global growth slowing to 1.2% in 2023, and the situation in Europe could be even worse than that. And they specifically cite the Ukrainian situation, the war in Ukraine, and worry that it's becoming a forever war. You talked about some of the impacts it's having on the European economy. What would a forever war do to those impacts?
Well, obviously, it makes them worse, right? But it doesn't make them worse at the same incremental rate. So, firstly, you know, I'm not sure. No one knows what's going to happen with the Ukraine. But certainly, it's likely that, you know, things like energy supply, there are going to be issues and challenges in energy supply. Now, what you're seeing as part of that disruption is the opportunity, and the opportunity is there's been a massive move in Europe to accelerate their renewable energy programs. And, you know, it's maybe kind of interesting for some of the listeners. Like, a lot of European countries have been moving into renewable anyway. So, for example, in my own country, in Ireland, nearly half of our electricity is generated from renewables. You know, so that is increasing, that push is increasing because the price, you know, the price of fossil fuels is now so high and the ability to source them is so difficult that countries don't have a choice. They have to look at trying to generate energy domestically. And for many European countries, this is the only way. I think that the impact on food supplies, you know, with the Ukraine effectively being kind of at most partially back into the market. And we have to remember, Ukraine used to be called the breadbasket of Europe, right? It's huge producer of grains. You know, will some of that supply get back into the market? Yeah. But if it's going to be some kind of a conflict of attrition, it's going to, you know, you're going to be working at levels that are, you know, a fraction of what they could possibly be. That will impact food supplies, that will impact the price of food, and again, that impacts on inflation. So I think in Europe, they have unique issues because not only do they face the kind of inflation that other countries are facing too in terms of commodity price increases, but they also have the issue with currency deflation. So European currencies have been falling in value, particularly against the dollar. And I don't think that's going to change. I think there's going to be, the dollar is going to remain relatively strong against most of the European currencies, which adds to European inflation, again, because of the currency effect. So I think, you know, when we look at the U.S. and we look at Europe, I think Europe is going to have a bumpier time than the U.S. will have, certainly in the short run.
David, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can always get me by email, and my email address is david.feller, that's david.feller, at associatedbank.com, or you could call the desk and talk to any of my colleagues or myself, and the number there is 866-524-8836.
All right, David, we'll see you next time. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too, Steve.